Chapter 11, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Popular disputed passage by many people. In fact, the roles of men and women have been disputed over time and probably always will be. And even among theologians and people trying to decipher what the Word of God says, they struggle in 1 Timothy chapters 2 and 3. They struggle in 1 Corinthians. They struggle in Ephesians. There's all kinds of struggle. And there's always been a struggle. Do you understand there's always been a struggle? In fact, that's one of the things initially that Eve would struggle with a curse of sin. And of course, would just be that leadership situation. But we're going to understand tonight some things that God has divinely ordered and divinely given. It doesn't have to deal with being anything less than. It's God's special place in our lives. By the way, do you know that every single person in here, please listen to this, every single person, God has a special place for you, and there's not one person, there's not one position that's any more important than the other. We are all created equal in God. Now that's in our position in Christ, but that doesn't necessarily mean our order and leadership and where He's placed us. There's different purposes for us, and so we're going to look a little bit into that tonight. And we've got the Lord's table tonight, and so it's going to get really cramped here really quick. And so I want to be able to give you some good truths. I'm not going to review, and that's kind of dangerous because there's some things that you've got to get your mind thinking again, but I'm not going to do that. But I will say this, probably in a couple weeks when I do it on Sunday morning, I'm going to review some of the things that I went over last time just to get your mind into it. But 1 Corinthians does deal with divine order, and we're going to get into distinction about that. This passage, the first half of the chapter is... everybody knows this is the head covering passage, but that's not the way we're looking at it. Although it's a part of it, but there's more than that, and so we're not going to establish exactly what it means, but we'll give some ideas of what it is. As you look at chapter 11, though, let me go through some key things that the chapter does give. And so, you know, if you want to take notes on this, you can. I'm going to give you just an overview, and then we're going to get to more of an outline. Again, I'm going to do that in minutes. And so just listen as we go through some of the things. What does the passage deal with? Okay. The passage deals with male and female roles. Do I need to? I almost did. I prayed through it. I almost preached a message on roles in the church of males and females. The Lord did not lead me to do that. I hope that you understand. Do you recognize that God has very clearly, and I'm saying this in a world that's getting more and more this way, or away from it, God clearly made church leadership for men. Do you understand that? All right, I'm not taking a message and going into it, but the Word of God clearly teaches that. And I know that that is not popular today. Our churches are being filled with female preachers, pastors. There's teams, a husband and wife, but there are many lady pastors, and I am here not preaching against these churches tonight, but I'm going to say that is not what God gave in the scriptures. You go to passages of scripture. I'll get into that here in a little bit with leadership, but God certainly made male and female roles differently, right? We understand that. Let's forget the church for just a moment. The roles. And Rick, you know, I had that pliers and screwdriver up here for so long, and I finally get to it. This is what I needed. Okay, so you're going to imagine with me. Do you see the screwdriver I have in this hand? Everybody, you're all nodding, right? You see it. Okay. Screwdriver. Oh, Avery said she doesn't see it. Okay, sorry. Okay, it's really here. That sounds like the world. You know, it's really not there. Okay. Okay, just pretend I have a screwdriver in this hand and I have a pair of pliers. You don't see it either, Bill? All right. I've got a pair of pliers in this hand, okay? A screwdriver in this hand. I had these things up here forever. Rick said, what are those things up there? It's for an illustration. I'm waiting to get to it. And we cleared it off, okay? And it's not here. Okay, here's the screwdriver, nice screwdriver. And here's my pliers, okay? Now let me ask you a question. I've done all kinds of things with a screwdriver, have you? I've really done a lot of things. You know, it's been a chisel before, it's been a wedge, it's been a screwdriver occasionally, you know, the way it's supposed to be. But I've used it in many different ways. If I can't find a hammer, I turn it around and use it like that. No, probably not so much that way. But you understand, a screwdriver has some specific functions, right? Typically what you're supposed to do is use a screwdriver, you know, the standard or the Phillips, and you take it to the type head of a screw or whatever, and you use it to either tighten or unscrew something. I think you understand what a screwdriver does, okay? That's what it does. And here on this side, we have a pair of pliers. You understand what a pair of pliers does. And again, we can probably find multiple ways to use it. But the main thing for a pair of pliers is, you know, you grip something and you're going to either twist something or maybe pull something out. You're locking onto something. You're squeezing. You're going to try to turn something or remove something, okay? And you understand. Here's the question. Are they two different? Do they each have two different roles? Yeah, they do. Okay, they have different roles. They were made for different roles. Now, we could argue here, you know, some of you men, we could argue on which one is more important. But how do you really do that? They have two different functions, right? I mean, I can try to use, and I've tried to use a screwdriver to get onto the head of a screw and, you know, try to turn it like that when I didn't have the screwdriver, but it doesn't really work well that way. And I can also use the screwdriver, I don't know how I could use a screwdriver for pliers. But you understand that they have two different roles. And it would be kind of silly to sit here and take a poll on who thinks which one is more important. Because really, if you're going to have a good toolbox, you ought to have both, right? It takes both to get the job done. Trust me, on that bathtub job, I needed lots of tools. I had lots of tools laid out there. And you go for certain tools, and you ask for certain tools. Hand me this. And the boys were there, you know, ready to hand me different things, and I need this. And you use that tool. Folks, can I say this? Please understand. A lot of the misunderstanding and confusion with this passage is because there's a struggle with looking at one and assuming that I'm not important enough to be used this way. It has nothing to do with being important enough. It has everything to do with God made you for a certain task. And guess what? It takes both. It takes both. In human life, it takes both. In the church, it takes both. And so we need to understand that God, just because He made different roles, doesn't mean that they're more important. Okay? And, you know, imagine having an attitude. Imagine the screwdriver having an attitude against the pliers. Imagine the pliers having an attitude against the screwdriver. Well, that sounds silly, but folks, why would we have an attitude against the roles in which God gave? Now, you say, why are we talking about that? That's in this passage. Why were the ladies getting up and doing the jobs, you know, that the men ought to be, you know, doing in the church is because they weren't satisfied with what God had given them, and they had an attitude against that. And we're going to deal more with that another time. But so the passage deals with male and female roles. The passage deals with male and female roles in worship. You know, look at verses 5. There, it alludes to it just a little bit, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even as one if she were shaven. And then we could look at verses 8 and 9. There, for a man is not of the woman of the man, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. We're going to jump into that here in just a moment, but you see here that there's certainly roles in worship. We could go to 1 Timothy in chapter 2, and we see, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. There's another passage that's highly disputed and really taken out But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. There's another one. But we see the roles in worship. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians: Let your women keep in silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. You know, God establishes certain leaders. If we were to look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, we see it is the job of the men to pray in church, that men everywhere pray. We see that very clearly. We see the church leadership in 1 Timothy chapter 3, that they are supposed to be, that was given to men. And by the way, sometimes the word man or men is referring to all of mankind. But that is a different Greek word than is what is used when it's differentiating between a male and a female. And when he addresses the men in leadership of the church, it is the man, okay, that is supposed to be the leader. And then also you could argue, you could also talk about the husband of one wife, okay? That's kind of hard to explain if you go the other direction, the qualification of an elder, a pastor. 1 Timothy chapter 2, right before that, giving the roles of the women in the church there. And so I've chosen not to take the time to go into those roles. There are different roles that are given. This passage deals with the hierarchy of leadership roles within the church. Just really quickly, look at verse 3. Tell me what's the hierarchy in the church? Who's first? Who's at the top? I know that the verse doesn't say it exactly in order, but you can make sense of it. Who's at the very top? We got God, and then who? Okay, we got the Father, we got Christ. Notice at the very end, in the head of Christ is God. So we're saying here that we've got God, and then we have under God? Christ. And then who's under Christ? The man, and then who's under the man? The woman. Okay, so there's the hierarchy that we have there, and we understand. So this passage deals with that. The passage deals in verses 4-6 with honoring those positions. Okay, so if this is the hierarchy, then Christ would honor the Father, and man would honor Christ, and then the woman would honor the husband. And so we see that honor is given. If there's a headship, if there's a leadership, then that one underneath is supposed to honor the next one, or really all of them that are on top of that. So this passage deals with that. The passage deals with glorying in these positions as well. Let me give you an instance of this. We see that in verse 7 and verse 15. Glorying in that. If my head is Christ, then I want to do something to demonstrate that glory. I want to show my head, if I could put it that way, I want to show him that I honor. This passage has much to do about honor. Honoring the one that God has put in front of me as my leader. And so this passage deals with glorying these. The male, glorying in Christ. The female, glorying in her husband. And there are certain things that she does to show that glory. This passage deals with the symbols of that honor and glory. So again, the headship, the honor, and then the symbol, the outworking of that to show and demonstrate that honor, and then also distinction between these symbols, applying to the genders. Again, we'll hit on it a little bit tonight, but much more in a couple weeks. And so we have the coverings that are referred to. Last time, it was about a month ago, I told you that there's different words for coverings, but honestly, there are three times mentioned, three different words. The most of the mentions of the word coverings here really mean a veil that surrounds or covers the head. And so those referred to here, the coverings, and then of course the hair later in the passage. And then this passage deals with the testimony that accommodates all of these things. So what are people thinking when you cover your head? What are people thinking? What's the message given as I am honoring my head? Okay? So that's what the passage deals with. Now let's get into a little bit more of an organized manner, okay? We look down. Go ahead and look at verse 3. We were already there, but let's look at that and establish it again. First of all, I'm going to put this passage in three main points. And again, because of time, we've got to move quickly. This is just going to be preliminary to prepare you, really, for the main message coming up in a couple of weeks. Okay, so get this into your mind. If you want to take notes, go ahead. All right, verse number 3, we have the four positions. Notice, and again, 3 points. The first one is order, okay, or a headship, leadership. We understand God's divine order, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Okay, are there any exceptions with that? No, the head of every man is Christ. You know, is this passage down on women because they are under someone? Absolutely not. Everybody's underneath. The only one that's on top of all is of course, God, the Father. And so this is not a passage of just, oh, I'm under someone. No, we all are. And every man is under, you know, of course, Christ is under God, but every man is under Christ. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. And so he's kind of going backwards there. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Okay, so we have God. We need to understand this order. This is the order that God has placed. This is the toolbox, okay? But we understand it's just different roles, okay? Different places. We have God the Father. We have Christ, of course, the Son. And then we have man, and then we have women. All important. All chosen by God for a specific task. Okay, so there's definite order. And that order is going to help us as we go on. Now, according to that order, we are responsible to give honor. Let's start in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying have his head covered, dishonoreth his head. We'll get to that in just a moment. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even as all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. Let's go back. Okay, there's a symbol that's given here in these verses. And I submit to you that as we look at this, this has to do with honor. Okay, he's established the order. And then he comes by and he's talking about dishonored. You notice that he uses the negative. He talks about dishonor. That implies that there is some honor with. You know, you can quickly dishonor, and it's given here what the dishonor. What's the dishonor for a man in verse 4? He's ministering while what? What's the dishonor? Okay, having his head covered, okay? That is saying that that's a dishonor. That was a symbol for this is not honoring. And so God is telling us, okay, we recognize the order, and there's a way we honor that. Are we to honor our head? What's the implied answer? Of course we are. I'm supposed to honor Christ. We are supposed to honor Christ. And of course, the women are supposed to honor their husbands. That's been given in other places of Scripture that we're supposed to honor. And what he does is he gives a symbol, a covering. Now, it's that covering is dishonor for the man. So a man going to worship the Lord, having his head covered would be dishonoring. What's the dishonor for the woman? In verse 5, but every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered. Okay, that would be dishonoring. Now, as we look at this, we notice an attitude here. An attitude. The attitude of a woman that does not honor her head, which is her husband, would be the same as what? What is compared to? What does he say? A woman that shaved her head. Now, what was the symbol of a woman that shaved her head? It's very clear. And by the way, it's been that way throughout. Now, please understand there's a distinction between a woman that does it on purpose and a woman that it happens because of some sort of a treatment or something like that. We're talking about two different things here. Okay? What about a woman that purposely does it? Shave her head. What was the symbol of that? What was a clear symbol? This was not a group of people that just decided it. Hey, we think that if you do this, this means that. No, this is what they did. What was the symbol? That shaved head, which was representing no authority over their head. Okay, we want to do this. And of course, some were the harlotry. But this was a woman that clearly said, no, I will not be under anyone. I am my own person. I have the ability. I can do this. And those people were known. They were going to be who they wanted. No, I'm going to, you're the screwdriver. I'm going to be that. And so they were not satisfied with that. Now, that was a given. That was a given when Paul was writing that. That was just the way it was. And so the attitude of this was that if we won't honor our head, now he's referring to the ladies here, if I'm not willing to honor my head, that you've got an attitude that would be very similar to those ladies that clearly say, I will not have anything to do with this. Now, if that's the case, then do we need to pay attention to then covering our head as we worship? What's the answer? Yes. Now, you're scared to answer because you don't know where we're going with this. Okay, what is that covering? Okay, you're scared. Listen, it's very clear. Let's not make it any more complicated than what it is. Listen, is there headship and leadership? Are there roles within humanity? What's the answer? Yes. And what are we to do with that? I'm trying to make it simple. It's a tough passage, but what are we supposed to do with it? We are supposed to honor, okay? We honor. It's very simple. There's roles and we honor. And then there's symbols that show that we honor, okay? And so we need to make sure that those symbols are right. And we're going to do those because they symbolize a certain thing. And so we're going to honor. We got to make sure that we don't have an attitude of, I don't know why you get to do this and why I can't do that. That was going on here in this church. It's like, no, you get to do this. I want to be able to do that. And so they're going to live that way. So it was dishonor for men to have his head covered. It was dishonor for a woman to not have her head covered. And then the symbol is explained in verse 6. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. I mean, honestly, it was like if you're going to not cover your head, then you might as well go all the way. Wow. And everybody would know exactly what you were talking about, at least in that day, what was going on. And I would submit to you, it's still very symbolic today, although it's gotten to be so normal that I don't know if everybody certainly thinks about that. But I will still say, and today, this is my opinion, is that still today, that if a woman is going to purposely do that, she's making a statement. You know, because why? Honestly, what we're trying to do is to erase the gender distinctions. Is what we're trying to do. That's really the goal, is to say, listen, there's no different anything from me than you. And aren't we seeing that outwardly today in all kinds of different ways? There's no difference in me than you. I mean, that's why there's absurdity going on within, and they're really not under God marriages, right? They're really not. God does not recognize those as marriages. You understand that? But these people are trying to do that. What are they trying to say? Well, I know. That is just because it comes from they don't like the roles and the authority that God has given. They're not willing to submit to that, and they're willing to say, listen, I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to show you that I'm not going to do it. And it's getting more and more bold. Isn't it true? It's getting bold out there. I will not, and I'm going to stand up for this, and they're willing. And you know what? They're even taking it to a level, taking it into the courts and all this, and they're making a killing on it. I don't know, because people are scared to stand up to what the Word of God says. Folks, I want to tell you, there's no discrepancy with it. The Word of God is clear, and he shares it right here. He's saying, listen, you've got roles. Here they are. You're supposed to honor your head, and this is a symbol of it. Men, you don't cover your head when you worship. Now, I understand this is in worship. And ladies, you make sure that your head is covered, because why? We're honoring our head. That's what God gave for the man. That's what God gave for the woman. We cover our heads. We don't cover our heads in that way. And again, there is an issue of gender distinction and gender blur in this. We're going to get to that in a couple weeks, okay? And this is really the heartbeat of what I want to get to. Really not to establish, the head coverings and all of that, but I really want to get, because I think that's a bigger issue in the day that we live at, and even right here in our church. And you say, really? Yep, right here in our church. You're looking around right now and say, who? That's not the point. The point is that we look around and say, making sure we're doing everything we can. I'll give you a little sneak preview. God made a biblical man. He's defined what a man is in the Scripture, and we ought to be doing every single thing we can to be that biblical man. Ladies, God has given you a biblical pattern for what a lady ought to be like, and you ought to be everything. When we're not, then we're blurring the gender roles. We'll get to that in 2 weeks. I can't wait. That's going to be much more fun than this, okay? All right. But honor. First of all, order. Second, honor. And this is God's plan. In fact, look at verses 8 to 12. He gets to a couple verses that are very simple. He says it very clear. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Okay, so he's kind of saying, why? Okay, I don't need to tell you why, but here's why. Okay, because the order that God gave. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And by the way, what was that creation of the woman for? To help the man, right? A helpmeet towards the man. That's just the way God made it. There's no more important. It's just that's the way, that's the role. There's the screwdriver and there's the pliers. Be happy with what God has given and do it your best and honor your head. Is what he's saying. And now he's given some reasons why. But then it's interesting. he goes on in verse 11, and I know, verse 10, you know, what does it mean? You know, because of the angels. We're not going to go there tonight, but look at verse 11. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. You know, he kind of covers his base there. You know, where does every man have to come from? A woman, right? Folks, please don't. This passage, Paul was not prejudiced. You know, we're not looking at anything about this is a passage on, you know, in favor of men. It has nothing to do with that. Please understand the scriptures. We've got to understand our roles in our world and in the ministry. It's very important that we have the right roles. We go to what God has taught us. The ladies have a prominent position in the church. To help ladies, to be supportive to their husbands, to be the prayer warriors, and to raise the children. I want to tell you, ladies, one of the biggest reasons why we don't have churches prospering the way they are is because there are ladies that are not willing to be at home raising those kids. And we've got kids where mom feels that it's more important to be doing a ladies' Bible study in church than raising kids. And I want to tell you, that is messing things up. Because God gave us very specific role to a mom to be a keeper at home, watching those children, raising them up. What happens to me if my children are not raised? What's going to happen to my ministry here in this church? I won't have one. Number one, the first thing you'll do is not listen to a word I say. Because everything he says, he doesn't do. And you can see it in the five. I ruin it. My wife makes my ministry and keeps it for me. Is that important? What do you say? It is important. I'll tell you what, I have no ministry if I have no wife. You see the difference? Different role. More important? No. Both important. Both are important. And again, we have all kinds of people in the ministry. I remember one time talking to a family. They were, at that point in time, just a youth pastor and a youth pastor's wife. We were over their home, and they had a whole mess of kids. God had given them, you know, a good number of kids. I can't remember how many kids they had. And I remember sitting down there, and this is what the lady said. She said, you know what, I couldn't believe the words, because they were good people, good people. I struggle because I feel like, you know, I've got so much responsibility here at home. I don't get to get into some real ministry with some ladies. You say, well, what's so wrong with that? What have the children become? They are a burden and a roadblock to real ministry. Yet where will our church be if we don't raise that next generation up? Carrie said it right, dead. Folks, ladies, mothers, and I don't know, we don't have a lot of mothers with children here, but let me say this, one of the highest callings in any church is a mother that's willing to be at home raising those kids every day, in and out, up and down. School, whatever that means with school and teaching and training, I'll tell you that is the highest calling. Ladies, don't ever think that there's a better ministry for you in these walls than what's at home. If we don't have that ministry, we don't have this ministry. It is so important. See, that's just a little taste of what really is being said here. There's different roles. They're both important. And you better, whatever God has made you, and we could get intricate with the different places in church, But I'll say this, whether you're an usher, or whether you're a deacon, or whether you're a pastor, or whether you're a cleaner, it doesn't matter what. You do what God has made you to do, and you do it the best of your ability, and we will have a full functioning church. Right way. It's not more important. Listen, the pastor's not more important than the cleaner. It's just a different role. Other passages of Scripture said, where were the body, if in the different body parts, and one of those is even the head. Can a head do anything by itself? No. You need the whole body. Please understand that in a marriage, we need both. There's order, there's honor, and then just going to give it to you. Then there's natural attire, where I'm going to label as distinction. Okay. And we're going to talk more about distinction in a couple weeks. But notice even what nature says here. Go down to verse 14, just about ready to conclude it. So what are the key things? I just want you to get this. 1 Corinthians 11 is not necessarily the head covering chapter. The first thing is what? Order. Understand here, God's given the divine order. That's what I want you to take away from 1 Corinthians 11, 1 to 16 or whatever it is. There's order, God-given order. Next is God-given honor, okay? God-given honor, you honor your head, and there are certain things that you can do to show that. And then the third thing that's given is what I'm giving to you now, and nature does it, and it talks about distinction. Has God made us, male and female, different? What's the answer? Yes. Do I need to expound upon that? No. You all ought to know the difference between male and female. Do you know that nature itself teaches that males and females are different? He says it right here. I don't know what our world is so confused about, but nature teaches. He says, doth not even nature teach itself you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, this is an interesting thing. There are different physiological things with men and women and their hair. It's just different. Even nature teaches you that. Nature, natural things teach you that there's a difference. We have, and again, I'm not going to get into all of the physiological things, but we have testosterone, we have estrogen and different things. Do you know that those things have a direct influence? Those chemicals in your body, those things have a direct influence on how your hair grows. The men's hair cycle goes much faster. That's why we have bald men faster than bald ladies, okay? It goes faster. And, some of you are laughing about that. Okay, I know, it's kind of funny. But we have a couple things. Longer and longer. That sounds like the same thing. Okay, longer and longer. First of all, ladies keep their hair longer. I'm not talking about the length. I'm talking about time. Why would God do that? He keeps their hair longer. They are able to keep their hair for a longer period of time than men. That's why some of us, when we go like this, and you all see my spot that my kids remind me that's getting bigger, It's like, Dad, when you put your head down to read the Bible, I can see their spot. Some of you, it's not a spot, it's the whole deal, okay? One day I'm going to be that way, but Nature has made it that way. And of course, I don't have to get into the fact that men have the testosterone, the ladies have the estrogen and all that stuff. But the fact is that there's longer, but then there's also longer. It's much easier for a lady to keep longer hair looking nice than it is for men to do that. Why? Because that's the way God has made it. God gave you something to make you distinct. And you know what it is? It's honor. Do you know, ladies, and we can get into this, do you know, ladies, that it is honor for you to have nice-looking long hair? By the word that is used there is not just a length of hair, it is a beauty of hair. To have nice hair, and you know what it does? Everybody listen to this, it brings honor to your head. It brings honor to your head, your husband. It brings honor to have nice hair. Now, I'm not talking about extravagant hair. We want to stay modest here, not something of drawing attention to yourself, but I tell you what, it ought to bring honor to your head. That's why, ladies, we want to keep our hair nice. We want to dress it nice. We want to be distinct with it so that we can, that everybody should know that lady honors her husband by the way she's wearing her hair. Now you say, people don't look at it that these days. Well, that's the way they've gotten from the scripture. God has given the head the hair as a covering, and it's supposed to demonstrate honor to their heads. And the same thing for men. You know what? We have short hair, and God says that honors our head. And we're going to get to the distinction in a couple weeks, but I say we need to be very careful to be distinct in this area because we don't want to be guilty of blurring the genders, okay? And we'll get to that in a couple weeks. But here we see even nature. Some have suggested that with nature, the physiology of a man, we could have, you know, Adam must have been made with short hair. I don't know. Maybe there's some to that. But that's, you know, it's the way that God made him. We have the physiology of the woman and what things God has given to her. It's the way that God has adorned her for glory. And then we see here the words here. And people take it differently. And you can choose to decide for yourself what you want. But notice in verse 15, after he talks about all this covering, he said, "But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering, given her for that veil." My personal opinion is that's what God has given today for that the woman should be distinct, should have that hair, should have hair that is distinct to a woman, and to wear it that would bring her head that honor. The passage has three main things: order, honor, and distinction. And that's what I wanted to get across to you tonight, and that is going to prepare us for 2 weeks, okay, or a couple weeks when we do that. As we close here, be careful with attitude with what God has given you in your position. Have the right attitude. This is where God has made me. I'm a pair of pliers. Be happy to be that pair of pliers. God has made me a screwdriver. Okay, you be happy. Let's have the right attitude. Second of all, let's have the right actions. Let's do what God has called us to do and do it well. Thirdly, let's be very careful that we have the right attire, okay, and being clearly distinct. Now, I'm kind of saving that one for the next one as we talk about genders, okay? The results of all of this, we need to follow God's instructions, folks. Follow God's instructions. And so, you might have a lot more questions than what I proposed to you tonight. I'm happy for you to come. I've done a whole lot more study than what I've given to you, but I want to be careful not to get on a tangent on some of these things. Let's remember that God has made us. He's given us order. We're supposed to honor our head. We need to be distinct, okay? Be distinct with what God has given. Now, I'm asking you to be praying and preparing your hearts for the message in a couple weeks, because I really personally believe it's extremely important that we, listen, don't check out yet. I believe it's extremely important that we live what God has made us to a T. When we don't, we are going to blur things, and we are the cause of why our world is where they're at today. And so, very important. I want to, you purpose to be here for that. I think it will be very challenging to you in your walk as a man, in your walk as a woman, in the things of the Lord. Father, this passage is a tough passage. It's hard. It's difficult, Lord. But, Lord, there's some key things that we need to get out of it. And, Lord, I pray that we would certainly live our lives bringing honor to you first, bring honor to our authority in our heads. God, help us. Lord, help us to be distinct and separate, and be who not trying to be who, you know, who you've not who you've not made us, Lord, but to be what you have made us, and to be happy and content with that. And so, God, be with us through this. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to